Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Whether the action is at the link or the bank, there's never an off day on Broad Street. It's the biggest news of the day, every day, with takes from someone who's never short on them. It's WIP Daily with Joe Giglio.
Welcome on in, WIP Daily, Joe Giglio with you. Appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, and following the podcast, Chris, YouTube feed, 94 WIP. Check it out there. Of course, the midday show, 10 to 2 every day on WIP as we get set for a huge weekend. And on Sunday, the pregame show leading into NFC divisional playoff, the Los Angeles Rams coming to town to take on the Philadelphia Eagles. So I've been thinking a lot about the Rams since, you know, I was watching that game on Monday night and thinking about, you know, the matchup and who was coming in here. And it was obvious pretty early it was going to be the Rams as the Eagles' opponent in the divisional round here in Philadelphia. And I just kind of want to kind of roll through some of my thoughts on this Rams team. And really with this question in mind, how dangerous is this football team? And I think it really is in the eye of the slants you want to look at it with. Because let's start with the why they're not that dangerous, and then we'll kind of spring it forward to why I do think they are a dangerous football team. So you could look at the Los Angeles Rams and kind of turn your nose up at them. They're outscored during the regular season. The only team to win an NFL championship and, you know, be outscored during the regular season was the 2011 New York Giants. The 08 Cardinals had a +1 point differential, and I do think there's some elements of this Rams team that are reminiscent of that Giants team in 11 and of course, the 08 Cardinals who made the Super Bowl. Giants 11 won the whole thing and beat the New England Patriots. There's some pedigree with Stafford, pedigree with Eli there. You know, Hall of Fame quarterback in Warner, likely Hall of Famer in Matthew Stafford. There's a coach who did it before with Tom Coughlin, coach who did it before here with Sean McVay. There's a young pass rush who maybe didn't do their best throughout the season always, but there's a rev it up factor, and the Giants certainly had that. That Cardinals team didn't have great numbers, but they had some good pass rushers, Bertrand Berry, on that defensive line. So you could kind of see the similarities. But they had weird lulls during the season. They didn't score a lot often. You look at their rankings, and it's like, you know, 18th, 19th, 20th. They don't profile as a team that's about to get on a run. And the other part that's very easy to dismiss with this Rams team and say, ah, come on, we'll see in the NFC Championship game. The part that's easy to dismiss them is we saw this matchup already, and it was as lopsided as anything you're going to see. The Philadelphia Eagles went to Los Angeles on the road on a Sunday night and beat the Rams 37-20. They outgained them by 200 yards. That they ran all over them in the second half of the game. Jalen Hurts played one of his most efficient games of the year. Saquon Barkley put himself in the MVP discussion that night. The Rams couldn't do anything against the Philadelphia Eagles in the second half of the game. So I can understand why you kind of look at their resume, look at what they've done, and say, really? This is it? This is the second-round opponent? I'm supposed to be scared of this? They were the 4 seed. They won 10 football games. They really didn't play enormously offensively for a lot of the year. They're very young on defense. And their offense, while good, didn't do a lot head-to-head, matched up against this same Eagles defense just a couple months ago. What's there to be scared about? And I can't argue any of that because their profile says, Eagles by double digits. That's the profile of the team coming in here on Sunday. But I do think the devil's in the details, and certain times a team starts to perform differently than their overall resume. And I'll point back to how I felt a little bit about the Green Bay Packers this past week and why I thought it was a lock the Eagles were going to win that football game and why I thought they could blow them out. And look, if Saquon keeps running, they probably do blow out the Green Bay Packers. you know, they probably pull away to a point where we all acknowledge it was never in doubt. They didn't. So it's kind of like, they won, but, and it wasn't a totally dominant effort because of the way the offense performed and the points they put up and obviously the short field to start the game. My point is the Packers came in with a sterling resume, one of the 40 best point differentials ever for a wild card team and, you know, big time offense, 27 points a game, top defense, good run. Like it was all pointing there, but you watch them the last few weeks and you could recognize they weren't that team any longer. They were trending down with a loss in Minnesota where they were down 3 scores early, a loss at home to Chicago where they were trying to win, injuries across the board on their wide receiving core and their corner core. Okay, so they weren't that team. That, you know, the resume is an accumulation of what you do from week 1 through week 18. That's your resume. What you are now is what you are now. And what the Packers were now or were on Sunday was not a great football team and one not capable of taking advantage of Eagles' mistakes. And that's why I do think the Rams are a dangerous opponent on Sunday, because they are better now than their resume says. Go look at their points allowed and their defense since the beginning of December. You know, they got torched by Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills in a high-profile game first weekend of December. And since then, they're not giving up points. I mean, they're not giving up points. Take away what happened week 18 when they sat everybody and they put their D-line on ice to get them ready for the postseason. They're not giving up points. They have been very stingy. So you have a defense that looks like it's turned a corner, a young defense that has turned a corner late in this season, a defensive line right now that is a strength, a secondary that is being tasked with making plays and making those plays. They're a different kind of defense than they were when the Eagles saw them in November. And then you have an offense that I would call a little bit brittle, but as long as they're upright, poses problems. Matthew Stafford is the kind of quarterback I don't want the football in his hands late in the game with the game in the balance. I want no part of that. The Eagles better get up and get up and get up on this team, because if Stafford has a chance, he could murder you. That's how good of a big-time quarterback he is. And his numbers entering the Monday night game, most yards per game in the history of the NFL postseason. His numbers overall, and this includes some times where he was, you know, pretty much in a no-win situation, making the playoffs with the Lions a few times. Passer rating of like 103, touchdowns, not that many picks, really productive player in the postseason. We know a couple years ago the NFL put in the Monday night wildcard. Well, so far, just the way it's worked out is every year it has been the 4-5 matchup in the NFC. Only one time has the winner of this 4-5 matchup on a Monday night then gone on the road and won on divisional round weekend. That one team was the 2021 Los Angeles Rams, when they went to Tampa Bay and they won outright over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers with Tom Brady the year after Tampa had won their Super Bowl. So you have a team that was good enough to go do that a few years ago. And now different pieces, different team, but it's the same quarterback and it's the same coach. So let's get to that coach in Sean McVay. Sean McVay has a chance on Sunday to put himself near the top of the list among active coaches in playoff wins. Obviously, Andy Reid's going to be at the top of that list, but it shows how much he's done in 8 years as a head coach. And I do wonder how many more times in a row the Eagles and Sirianni specifically can get the best of McVay before McVay gets him back. When you have great coaches and the matchup starts to get lopsided, you start to wonder, is it going to even out at some point? So I consider the Rams dangerous from that perspective. I mean, at some point, McVay is going to beat Sirianni. Now, Sirianni's had the better roster. And I think specifically last year, the Eagles caught the Rams at their best. I think that was peak Eagles around week 5 of last season in Los Angeles. And it was probably the bottom point of the Rams before they rose as a team last year that no one wanted to play. But it's back-to-back years at 1-4. That they've risen to a point where they could be dangerous in the postseason. Last year, they lost the Lions in overtime in Detroit in the first round. Big game, fun game. And this year, they beat the crap out of the Minnesota Vikings. And it brings me to one last point. And again, this is, again, in the eye of the beholder, how you see it, how you view it. So you can make a case that the Los Angeles Rams on Monday night played with an incredible amount of energy. They play with an incredible amount of will, and they play with an incredible amount of heart, because they were representing the entire Southern California area. They were representing an entire group of people that have gone through tragedy over the last couple of weeks because of the wildfires in the Los Angeles Palisades area. I happen to know people that were affected tangentially. My aunt and uncle, who are screenwriters, they do not live there anymore. They live in New York now, but they spent probably 25 years there. I visited there. I went there when I was young on a vacation and hung out with them and stayed at their house. That house is now gone. So friends, family, the town their children grew up in, my cousins, gone. The whole Palisades city town is gone. High school, the whole thing, church, everything. It's in ruins. So, and that's just them. That's just a couple people that I know, a family that I know. The entire Los Angeles Rams are affected by this because it's either their home that maybe was in the area or could have been in the area, friends, family, loved ones, relatives, girlfriends, whatever, were affected. So they had to prepare for a football game, leave the city, leave the town, leave people behind, and go win and try to play for that town. And I think there's could be a thought out there that they kind of expended all the energy and emotion they had to get that win last night. And there's that natural fall off of that. Like, can they do it again? It's one thing to like, you know, can I say the drop of hat, run 3 miles and you do it. And you're like, I did it, man. And then I say, all right, do it again. That second 3 miles might be more difficult to do it again. That adrenaline wears off, that will wears off. So that's possible. And they may have expended everything they had last night to get that win, or 2 nights ago over the Minnesota Vikings. It's certainly possible. It's also possible they're on a magic carpet right now with the city and town beneath them and with them. You know, we've seen some of this as well. Go back to 2001 in baseball. The Yankees made the World Series after 9/11. You know, sometimes you have teams that, you know, kind of find a way to take on the life of a city that's down and uplift them. There's probably been, you know, a handful of others in sports history. I don't know how off the top of my head right now, that something's happened in the town or with someone in the town or a city, and it's kind of used that as fuel to represent them. So, you know, it's the matchup set now. You can't have the Vikings. It's going to be the Rams. I just would caution that, well, that was probably their moment to win and play for that city, and now it's kind of a natural fall off of that. Maybe. Or maybe they're on a magic carpet ride. Obviously, as you could tell, I lean in this conversation more towards the Rams being a dangerous team. They're a dangerous opponent. I know they're 5.5, 6-point underdogs. I recognize the Eagles have home field. They have a longer week to prepare. They have the better football team. They beat this team in their house twice in the last 2 years, including this past November. They ran all over them. The Eagles should feel like they match up well. But anytime I walk into a game and the team coming in has equal rest, right? It's not like, I know the short week, but I mean like bye. They both took week 18 off. They both played a home game last week. So there's no discernible advantage there. It's not like some teams coming out on their third straight road game. So no discernible rest advantage. I don't believe there's a head coach advantage. In fact, I'd go towards McVay. The quarterback you trust more is on the other side. That's Matthew Stafford. And they're not upstarts. They've been through this before. I mentioned they've won this Monday night game, gone on the road, and beat Tampa Bay and Tom Brady to go win a Super Bowl. So you have experience. They're getting better. They're better than their numbers, the way I view them down the stretch of the season. You have some big-time players. You know, we're going to rank the players earlier this week. Top 10 players in the game. I did it last week, and it was slanted way towards the Philadelphia Eagles. This week, well, you know, you got to take into account Matthew Stafford, Puka Nacua, Cooper Kupp, Kyren Williams, Jared Verse. They've got some players over there. So you factor that in. They've got some high-end talent, Kobe Turner, to match the Eagles' high-end talent. I think we're getting a very close game in Philadelphia on Sunday afternoon. If the Eagles get through this, they're going to have earned it in a big way. I think the Rams are game. I don't look at them as 25th, 26th, 24th in rankings. I look at them as a darn good football team since the beginning of December. That's game for this. They'll be ready for this. The Eagles better bring their A game. Do I consider the Rams a dangerous football team? You bet I do. One of the most dangerous teams left in the NFL postseason. I said it this yesterday. I'll say it again today. I wrote it on my newsletter, email newsletter. By the way, sign up. I tweet it out. I Instagram it out. I will send it to you directly to get an email every single morning in your inbox from me directly with take of the day, links to the show, podcast, YouTube, everything we got going on with WIP Daily and the WIP Midday Show. So let me know your email address and I will send that to you and the invitation to subscribe. Very easy. Just all you need is your email and you're in for free every single day. I wrote it in there. The first score prediction that came to my head, we'll see if it sticks through Friday and Saturday and Sunday, is 24-23 Eagles. And by the way, their field goal kicker's been on a heater too. Should be a fun one. Should be a really tight one. Do I consider the Rams a dangerous football team? Yeah, you bet I do. Appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following the podcast. Of course, the YouTube feed, 94 WIP. Check it out there.